Okay. Slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, and inner mindfulness and awareness that you have done or developed for as long as you can. Then continue to stabilize all this mindfulness so that your daily mindfulness is very stable, determined to be aware from inside of all action, all movement, all activity within life, whatever you do. How you walk, how you sit, how you stand, and how you move in between the four postures. You can be more and more aware, you will be beautiful. Then you will understand many things. Then after your understanding is developed, the wisdom will make a big difference to your life. This wisdom will allow you to free your mind, liberate your mind, to understand what is evil, what are the things that cause suffering, what are the things that cause problem, sadness of mind, unhappy state of mind, leading to sorrow, lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety. Then all of your phobia, insecurity, scars of memory, why do you accumulate them? When you do that, your brain becomes disorder. Your brain that has disorder has problem. It's just like a country. When it is not in order, when there is disorder in the country, there is riot, there is civil war, there is a lot of suffering. That's why without wisdom, there is no order. Without order, there is no life. Everything depends on wisdom, understanding. Then with wisdom, when you understand what constitutes evil, you will be able to plant the seed of wholesomeness, no more evil. Then just now, I think I saw the video, Facebook video from this. I think Janice forwarded it. It's quite a nice video, short video, but quite nice. It's the interview by this Alan something, I forgot already. It is quite a well-known TV program guy, I think this Alan guy. He introduced people to the world. So there was this young guy, I think from India or Indian guy. He was 28 years old, I think. He was studying in London, actually, business school, I don't know, Harvard or which one. Then he was exposed to a lot of things. Then what happened was, he finally became a monk. Then when he became a monk, he, I think, spent half the time as a monk and half the time studying and doing his thing. Then by the time he come back to London, he said he was in debt. He don't have much money. Not much debt, I mean, not enough money, because as a monk, you don't earn, you are not a graduate. Then what happened was, a lot of his classmates in the business school, they work in big organizations. Then when they heard about what he did as a monk, because initially, when he was studying, somebody talked to him and said, "Hey, there is a talk. Normally it's by CEO, all the CEO, famous people. They come and share with you their success story, how they become what they are, and how from nothing they become successful." So he was very motivated, very excited. Then one day this classmate of his said, "Hey, there is a very well-known monk coming." He said, of all things, we are business school, going to listen to a monk. He must be crazy. What has he got to offer? He can't even survive. He need to beg. So something like that. Then somehow the friend forced him to go. No? The moment he sat in, it changed his entire life. No? He has never seen a guy can talk so well. He is not greedy. No? He is happy. No? He is peaceful. No? He is jovial. No? Then you know what he is telling him or not? He's telling him about selflessness. No? When there is selflessness, there is love. No? There is compassion. No? There is joy. No? Then there is gratitude. And then you can do a lot of things for the world, for people, and for himself. Then, of course, there must be some other thing. So that makes him very motivated, very excited. And he decided to become a monk. And he went to India and became a monk for 3 years. Then after he came back, his classmates in all the big organizations decided to invite him to come and help, because a lot of their colleagues and their classmates, they all were having stress. A lot of timeline, target stress. Their workload was very severe. Then they had this, what they call career type of stress. Sometimes harassment and all those things. So they were in a situation where they need help. So they thought the classmate who became a monk can teach them how to meditate to become more peaceful and more calm. So he went there. Then because he also a student with them before, he know their character, then roughly he understand why they are like that. Then he start to use the Dhamma, the understanding he had as a monk, to actually help them. And what he used is very simple. What he used is only a small fraction of the Buddha's teaching. He said, the reason why you stress up is you plant a lot of weeds. You know what is weeds or not? W-E-E-D-S. Ah, la la. Oh, okay, oh, smart. He said, your mind is like a garden. Garden. This one actually I say one, but I think that is what he mean. Yeah, he talking about planting thing. So he said, if you want to have peace, happiness, and joy, if your mind is a garden, what must you plant? Not only flower lah. You must plant the beautiful seed, understand? The beautiful seeds that will flower, give you all the good fruits and all those things, understand? So that your garden is beautiful, understand? No la lang, nothing. Then grass also very beautiful, everything also very beautiful. So he said, what are the seeds? What are the beautiful seeds? He said, every morning when you wake up, plant the beautiful seed of, first one is gratitude. Like my daughter mentioned, she start to understand this. And this is very important, very beautiful. Gratitude. D-U-D-E. Huh? So when you plant the seed of gratitude, this one will grow. When you have gratitude, your heart is very beautiful, you realize that. Because you have gratitude towards all things, not only people who help you, understand? Gratitude towards nature, towards karma, towards all the things, like my daughter said, how the book has relationship with her, how all the conditions set in come, then even though not real, within this period, you use it. Then everything is so pristine. So you have gratitude towards nature, They give us the air to breathe, like my teacher, Ajayantra. He said, nature has great loving kindness. Do you understand why? Nature give and give and give. Nature never take. We take for granted. The air we breathe come from where? The air you breathe come from where? Don't tell me some company generate for you. Without nature, you where got air? Without the atmosphere, the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food you consume, all come from nature. Your form and mind also come from nature. Understand? Whatever you get to enjoy, to give you the comfort of life, all come from nature. Then like the tree, it's also part of nature. They endure the sunlight and give you the shade. You don't have gratitude towards the tree. And most human beings do what? Urinate under the tree. Throw things around, even the bark. Then they chop the tree and sell the wood, the timber. That is what human beings do. Then we release a lot of toxin back to nature. So when we have gratitude, our mind becomes different. We care. We have gratitude. We love. Then man and nature is one. There is harmony. Then only the planet, nature, can become beautiful. There must be harmony. There must be order. So he said, instead of planting the beautiful seed, of course he only mentioned gratitude because that film is very short. So we can extend it, understand? All the right thought. What else? The most obvious is love and compassion, isn't it? Then, what else? Somewhat. Respect. Kindness, generosity. Respect towards elders, people who are worthy of respect. Then, kindness. Generosity. You plant all this seed. The other one is contentment. Then your thought will be beautiful. Your mind will be beautiful. But he said, human being every day, you know what they plant? They plant the weeds. Weeds. What are the weeds they plant? Anger. Sadness. Anger. Sadness. Double D or 1D? 1D only. Okay. So, of course, envy, resentment. So stress is sorrow, Sorrow. This is stress. Fear, also stress. That's why they got a lot of stress. High stress. Fear, worry, anxiety, What else? What else can you think of? What are the evil roots? Selfishness. Then, craving. desire. That one all included, where you are selfish, you are cunning, you are deceitful, all those go into cunningness. So this one, all go into selfishness, sorry. So selfishness include all your cunningness, deceitfulness, everything. Cunningness, deceitfulness. Etc. So when you have all this phobia and all those things, phobia, insecurity, insecurity, so all these are like weeds, make your garden disorder. Then you don't like to live there. Understand? And all these are hurting you, harming you, making you miserable. So he only used one word. Every morning when you wake up, plant more and more of this good seed of gratitude. He said, when he did that, he got so much joy. He keep on having gratitude towards everything that he come to know in life. Gratitude towards nature, towards parents, towards friends, towards neighbor, colleague, whomever who can make him happy, peaceful. So all this is a very simple aspect of Dhamma. He only apply a small part and it helped them relieve. Because whenever they have this negative mind state, which is the wrong thought, so weed is actually wrong thought, that's why they become miserable. So what did I taught you all? What are wrong thoughts? Thoughts that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, selfishness, all of these weeds. When you have wrong thought, it conditions all this, make you miserable, make you stress up, condition you into depression, suicidal thoughts, all these things. So when you see this, why can't you wake up your own life? Why can't you love yourself? You create all these wrong thoughts is because you don't love yourself. True or not? If you love yourself, how can you torment yourself and make yourself so miserable? It's obvious, isn't it? So this guy, just tell them to have gratitude and don't plant the seed that give rise to all the weeds. Then you will be happy. Then you will de-stress. But a lot of people never ask him this question. If I don't have all these, means I don't have problem, Karena. Karena, I have all these because I have problem. But he didn't mention how he helped them solve problem. Understand? That's why you still need Noble Eightfold Path. You cannot just sit there and plant all these things. Your boss is going to give you a love letter and tell you no need to report for work anymore. So you cannot just do this and don't have the wisdom or answer to solve people's problem. Their problem is what? They have to have a job. But that job is very stressful. The good thing is very high pay. Understand? Then can become very successful, but very competitive, stressful. So you have to choose. So if you really perceive it, or your basis of having that job is the motivation behind it, the salary, the money. for order, whatever, better life and all those things, then you must know how to achieve it through the right means. Understand? You don't have to stress. You don't have to have all these things to be successful. Who say you have to have all these things to be successful? I went through life. I became an engineer. In a madhouse, I can transform it. And I can have financial freedom. Because simple life. But if I want to be very successful in the financial field or in the corporate sector, then I can make that choice. Well, I have the paramita and the understanding, but that is not life. To me, to have 100 billion and to have 5 or 10 million, you think got different? Yeah? Of course, you say got different. The number is so much. Can give to all paramita. But as a family, for you to, that's why my nature knew when I come, I don't depend on people. I don't depend on support and all those things. I make sure my nature comes with a form and mind that is independent. I don't need support. In the sense financial, support like Kayamita volunteer to help out, that one is important. Like Jin Hao, Sui An, that one is important. Even all the other Kayamita. But what I mean is financially, I don't need support. I can also, actually, at times, I help out, I donate, I give. So what is important is you must understand how much is enough. You used to receive in the WhatsApp, you have a bungalow so big. How much space do you need to sleep? Only that limited space. But if you don't have the Dhamma, you don't know how to appreciate, then the bungalow actually is a waste, understand now? Then your wife will complain. Hey, you better hire a maid. No, you think I can handle so big. Then like one colleague of mine, got two maids, one maid not enough. The wife say, you got so much thing in the house and the garden and everything also you want to impress people, take care. So you need a lot of this. But they got money, they can hire maid. But hiring maid also got problem. Not all maid are very good maid. So sometimes you get a maid that don't really can work with you. Then there can be problem. So Dhamma is applicable everywhere. But Dhamma give you the full solution. It can settle your problem. You understand? So, after I view the video, I understand it differently. That's why I want to share this with you. I forward it to the Cameron Highland Retreat WhatsApp group too. You can have you can listen to it later, whenever you are free. Okay? So this one, clear or not? Yeah. So, rejoice lah, ayo. Ayo. Learn so much, also no gratitude. Don't know how to rejoice some more. Don't have gratitude, never mind, but you yourself get married, rejoice. It costs you any money? No need money, you receive marriage. It's a meritorious action. And it opens up your heart, there is joy. That is the good seed, understand? Add in, plant the seed of joy. Joy. We are rejoicing. Rejoicing. And meditation. A lot of things you all take for granted because you don't have the deep insight. The wisdom, the understanding, all these mean a lot to the living being. Now you will start to appreciate what is right thought, what is wholesome thought. Why must you have this selfless type of mind that can give rise to all this beautiful, wholesome thought, wholesome virtue, And that is what the Dhamma is all about. Without wisdom, there is no virtue. I already told you. Without wisdom, there is delusion. Delusion will condition wrong thought. Then all of your suffering, misery, will arise. Then your life, why can't you choose? Choose appropriately, choose correctly, beautifully, to be happy, to be peaceful, to have joy, to have all the beautiful seeds. That's why gratitude, contentment is very important. Kindness, pleasantness, generosity. So all these are right thought, wholesome thought. Not only the four Brahma Vihara that you are always hear, and that one is very difficult to practice or cultivate. But rejoicing is easy, understand or not? Rejoicing is also one of the Brahma Vihara. Sadhu also cannot. That's why I learned to rejoice more. A person who can rejoice more, cut away what? Envy and jealousy, understand or not? You rejoice in the wholesomeness of what people do. People get promoted, wow, congratulations, sadhu, sadhu. Instead, you go and sit one corner. He didn't deserve what? Actually, that promotion should be me. The boss must be blind. Maybe they bother the boss. So, all this thing is happening in our life, in our society. So when you understand Dhamma, you know how to cut away all of the negativity of mindset. So plant a beautiful garden in your heart. Understand? Cannot? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So plant a beautiful garden in your heart. That's why I don't want you to go to your brain there. Your brain there is memory. There, the garden already not so beautiful. Because it has your scars of memory, all your accumulated rubbish inside there. Understand? But the user of this brain is very important. Understand? That's why the user got wisdom up there. Don't worry. All the fear, phobia, all cannot come out. Understand? Because you have the wisdom. They cannot delude you anymore. Cannot deceive. So you can live a life with pure awareness, with understanding, yet with the brain carrying all those rubbish. Understand? That's why there was a question, you remember? One of them asked, can we stay the innocent baby? The mind is like the enlightened person's mind. My answer is very obvious. I said no. That initial pure awareness state before the conditioning, the brain, everything, that particular aspect a little bit similar. It's not connected to wisdom and it don't have the store up rubbish. But when you grew up with the memory, with the store up rubbish, and with the wisdom connected, then that mind become pure. Just pure awareness. With the wisdom and the understanding. That is the mind of the enlightened one. That's why not much similarity with the baby. Don't go and act like a baby. Everything also don't want to know. I'm a baby. I don't know. I don't, got no words. Everything I perceive, pure perception. Ayo. You can lie to people by pretending, acting. But the moment you go back to your house, nobody around, the memory all come out. This one not done, that one not done, this guy how? Worry. So if you don't have the Dhamma, all this will arise. Wrong thought, everything will arise. Any question regarding this topic? This is very general topic, but very useful, very direct, can help you in life. Kehun, ihiao. Ihiao lao. This will help you too. Then how you answer? Huh? Never mind. Hey, good for the recording. That is a very good question. So how are you going to answer them? How to develop this?
I think I will begin, of course. Let me think for a while before I answer.
Wow.
So many people.
See? Let me think. Use the thought again.
I'm very cognitive. Yeah. Maybe this will help.
Yeah.
I can share.
Yeah,
example,
okay.
I lost my phone before on
LRT
a long time ago.
Huh.
I put it in my bag. I think it was at the first pocket. So very careless. Then I take the train when I reach KL CC already. I come out, handphone lost. So not only handphone was lost, I was angry at myself. I was... all this happened, everything happened. Everything go through. Now I lost phone already, the fear. So, people call me how angry at the person, angry at myself, why I never keep properly. So sad, that phone so expensive. Oh, other people got all the... they never get stolen, why my one get stolen? You know, everything, the whole thing, all come up. So not only I lost my phone, I hurt myself some more by thinking all these things. So if I think, luckily only handphone gone. Never stabbed me, never, nothing happened to me.
Yeah, that is gratitude.
Then I totally feel differently. It same thing happened, just handphone loss. Handphone loss can be big thing, can be small thing. I make it how big I want.
Yeah.
Then if I start to see kindness, everything, I will never steal my phone. Other people lost the phone. I can afford, I can buy a new phone. Okay,
yeah.
I lost. All these can turn the situation around. That's how I will apply this.
Sadhu, very good. Then that brings me to another example. Want to listen? Very good one. There was a Kayan Mita. The one I told you, the daughter-in-law, big problem. He went with me to Japan. Then I explained to her, I teach her all this way to turn the daughter-in-law around. Then the son also actually, yes, he's scared because of the condition of the daughter-in-law. The son also gone. The son is a PhD holder. So because of that, he came to my class. He attended my class. Then he understand quite well, because this lady is very full of gratitude. He thanked me. He said, "Brother, the best thing in my life is to have met you." So, luckily, I didn't cheekily tease her. You think I'm more important than your husband? Understand? I thought your first word would be, the most important thing in my life is to have met my husband first. But he said me. Then he told me, what you have taught me is so wonderful. Money cannot buy. He said, God's miracle also doesn't work like that. What I taught him through nature's law, the thing helped and turned it around, which he said, God's miracle also cannot work like that. You know why? The son is a Christian. The son is a pastor. Also cannot turn the wife around. Big problem. Then one day, near Chinese New Year, at Sipak there, he was with the husband going for dinner. He come down from the car. Chinese New Year, you know, how much money in the bag? With the ang pao, everything. The snatch did come. Snatch the handbag. He panicked. Then after that, straight away, the next moment, he remembered my advice. Don't panic. Don't worry. Calm down. He straight away calm down. Then he told the husband, don't chase. Don't worry. Only about 3,000 plus, he said. But they can afford. The husband is a mechanical engineer. She also retired. She flower arrangement. They are well off. But they got one bungalow in somewhere, KL there. And because of that, she called me and shared with me. He said, "Brother, thank you again." I said, "Why?" He said, "I met this." He didn't say met. I had a incident, the snatch, they snatched my handbag and I lost $3,000. But luckily, because of your Dhamma, I stay calm, peaceful. And I was full of gratitude. Like my daughter said, luckily I was not hurt. He didn't draw me along, understand or not? Then I can afford. So what you say, poor tai, xiao tai. You know what it is? I used to say, I didn't use the Mandarin, but she used the Mandarin because she can have the husband is very well educated, mechanical engineer, 30 years my senior one, 20 years my senior, and he is from Taiwan grad on. His Mandarin very good. Then the husband said, "Poor Chai, Xiao Chai." I also learned that word. So what is happening is, I used to say, if you have negative karma, the friction will come in there. So come in what way? Come in losing money is better than come in accident, isn't it? You understand or not? That's why poor tai means tai means your money, understand or not? Your wealth, understand or not? But it can clear your coming debt. You okay or not? Sure, okay, like Li Hun say, you can afford big car. Right. That is a good one. Money can earn, understand or not? Louis Boliao Tan A Tio, understand? Mia Kayao Kin. So my daughter's analogy also very good. So whenever you lost something, that is the first noble truth reality, isn't it? Separate from you, isn't it? Then if you attach, cling, you hold on to it dearly, then your mind becomes negative, understand? Because you don't have the understanding, you cannot accept the reality of the moment. So in Hokkien, it's very good. Kwa be kui ya. Kwa be kui in English means what? Sea cannot open. In English is what? Kwa be kui. Ayo, like go ga kwa be kui, ma lai siang ah. Kwa be kui ya. Mandarin, eh? Mandarin? Kan bu po ah. Can bu kai ha. Xiang a kwa bi kui a. Can bu kai. Cannot accept the reality la. Correct or not? Cannot accept what happened. Out of the box, but that one is not Dhamma. That one is like the Malay proverb, kata di bawah. Means you are underneath the tempurung. Everything outside tempurung you don't know. So when their thinking is so conditioned, they always think the same way. That's why the English proverb is that, you must look outside the box. Is it outside the box? You repeat that.
The psychiatrist taught me a lot. I just sat there quietly.
Oh, you listen. You bring the client to the psychiatrist, then the psychiatrist advise you listen. It like teach you a lot of things.
Correct.
Yeah, you share it.
So the client is actually lamenting, grumbling about how terrible her life is. Things are not going her way, her mother is terrible, she's not good looking, she has no money, the whole thing.
Okay.
So the psychiatrist was listening to her, and then the psychiatrist answered her this question. Maybe the next semester you take off, and you follow me to India. Of course the psychiatrist is a very staunch Christian. You follow me to India, and you do what I do. And after you have been to India, I can guarantee you don't need any more pills, there will be no more depression.
Yeah, because he take him to see all the suffering, miserable one. Worse than him one. Because I used to tell people, if you are not contented with life, you better go to India. Or go to South Africa, or go to Africa. Go to all those very poor, with a lot of problem and disease. Because there is no contentment, understand? This word is very important, contentment. When you lack contentment, you will become selfish. So this selfishness comes from lack of contentment. Where is contentment? On the other side. So when you lack contentment, selfishness will arise. When lacking. Contentment, you become selfish. So this one is clear, right? Because you think your life is miserable. It's just like people pay tax, complain. You understand? You lack contentment. A lot of people want to pay tax now, but they cannot earn that type of money to pay tax now. They say they envy you. You can pay tax, you somehow complain. Complain what? The government tax people, discourage people from doing business. Lack of contentment. Then when you already got a family, like most of your clients, the rich kid, second generation one, they are from well-to-do family, isn't it? Yet they are not contented, no. They haven't met a child who is an orphanage, don't have parents, 3 meals or so worry. They haven't seen that. That's why they got time to get angry, depressed. Then they got time to think of all those nonsense. I am not pretty enough. And people do this to me. Then Danny yesterday also shared. The self what? Self-doubt. You think you cannot. Everything also can. You lack all these things. But the best example is what? You can get an example of a guy totally got no beauty, and yet the husband that married her is really wealthy. Then care for her, love for her. There's a real case, no? My brother in Alastair, that time, the youngest one, he that time bought a bungalow, but he don't have the tax thing to show, so he asked me to join him. I said, no problem, you use my name, because my tax file, okay. So he bought. Then later on, the neighbor sold off to somebody, and he also don't know who. But this neighbor, that bought over the bungalow, his neighbor, demolished the whole house and renovated it into a fantastic bungalow. Then when he saw the owner and the wife move in, the wife, if you look at her, she got nothing special about their mind. You know. Cannot even be average mark, below average. You know. But the husband loved her, and gave her all the things. You know. And the husband was so kind to her. Then he get to know her, that's how he come to know. Then my brother also asked me, why people, you know, my father when he was alive, I got a few brothers there. So they all married. Then I got this fourth brother. He told my father, he said, a lot of people get married, but you botak stamp. You know the meaning. Actually, what is the meaning? But you both ask them. Cannot see clearly. No, both ask them. Both ask them. If you touch them, you can see clearly. Maybe one eye you focus. Understand? But you both ask them. Where got stem? But you tell them. Never mind. Anyway, the joke is very beautiful. So my father was observing. Then my that youngest brother, no girl would have married him. You know why? Because his gap with us is very far. Then my father pampered him. Then he became so spoiled. He joined the gangster. He get involved already, his hair long, not combed, with a comb stuck here. Then he go to school, collect protection money from the other student, then do a lot of all those nonsense, until my mother, he came and talked to me. I got 10 children, he said. Or nine children, I think. 9 or 10, I forgot. 10, about nine. My mother said, all are very successful. Sang say, only the youngest one become like that. If he can turn around, I will be the happiest mother in this world. After she told me that, then I reflect. Then I say, okay. I call up my father. I said, this year I want to see him. So that new year, I went back and talked to him. Then you know what happened? He decided to change. Because every year, he only around Sa Chap Mae to collect ang pao, after that disappeared. Then when he has the ang pao, he go and gamble. Then he go and order Kali Mia. That time Kali Mia in Alastar, 1-2 ringgit only. He Kali until 10 ringgit. He like that. Yeah, my father pampered him. Then my father washed his shoe, washed his clothes until he almost 30 years old. Then I talked to him. I said, do you know what is happening to your life or not? Do you think father still young? That time my father 60 plus. After father no more, what are you going to do? Then he kept quiet. Then I say, you look at your life, I say, if you don't change, your destiny is very clear. Nobody really look forward or appreciate what you are doing. Then you know what I say, you all look down on me. Then I say, why every year Sa Chap Mae take ang pao gone? I stay back for what? I stay back to be looked down upon by you all. He go and say like that. Then I say, who told you that? Who looked down upon you? You all are. I said, it's your perception, no? Actually, mother worry for you, no? I told him. Mother would have been the happiest mother in the world if you can turn around. No? Then I asked him one question. Do you want to change your life? Do you want to turn around? If you want, you listen. Black and white, very clear. You continue with what you are doing, your future is gone. If you want to turn around, I can help you. All the brothers and sisters can help you. Very easy, I say. I will give you 3 options. First option, if you want to work, in the father's, my father got a medical shop, Chinese, not the Western one, Chinese one, Chinese sincere one, Yodiam. So I say, you go to the fourth brother, under training, you join him. Then you have a good career. Second, follow my eldest brother. He got a factory, battery manufacturing. Rank and file, you come out. If these two also you don't want, no problem. We give you seed capital to start a small business. Like the what? Sell newspaper, sell the simple thing, like a small sundry shop or mini market like that. I said, our investment in you is not much. We give you 6 months. Never mind, this one no need to listen. We give you 6 months, okay? The rental in Alostar very cheap, even in the town, rental 1,005 only. 6 months, 9,000 something only. So all this type of good, my brother who is in that business on the medical hall, he can get goods for him. Then you go and become the owner there and you run the business. This type of business, sure successful one. We got no risk and the profit is quite good. So finally, he made the decision. He said, really? Then he decided to work for my brother. After that, he become very different. Then I told him, remember, if you got money, you come and see me. I said, minimum 10,000. Then I invest for you, and I grow your money for you. Then he remember another word I say, you must be generous, you must be kind, take care of karma. He remember. So when he joined my brother, elder brother, within a month, he told my father what I told him. Then my father called me. He said, "You help him to invest. He got the 10,000. I also put in 10,000, 20,000. He said, "I say he just work. He where got money?" He said, "I lend him." But that also can. So my father, buy for me first. The money never come. The 20,000 never come. But I buy first. But luckily, I very good. That time, I buy public bank. Public bank was very small that time. And they got this bonus right and split. Yellow fat until the paid up capital. I tell you, that time, public bank was crazy. From 20,000, they make 80,000. It become 100,000. Wow, he got so much joy. Then he called me. He said, "You told me must donate, isn't it?" He said, "Okay, help me to donate." So I said, "How much?" That time he's stingy. He said, "Donate 1,000. After that 1,000 donate, he said, "Money really come, no? Somehow, he like durian roto from somewhere, no? Oh. Then he said, "Donate some more." Then he said, "Where can I learn that teaching you told me, the Dhamma?" I said, "You Malay educated, how to teach you?" And Chinese school for 6 years. So I said, "You go to Chi, where Alostar got Chi." I said, "You Alostar, IPJ, I cannot teach you. I can only go home once a year or twice a year, then I talk to you." Then he said, "Then why I call you?" So that's how he started. Then you know what happened? Before he changed, there was a girl that was going on with her for quite a while already. So that girl decided to marry him. Then my fourth brother said, "My this younger brother, the wife, but you both are step." He said, "This type of boy also you dare to marry, got nothing on." Then gambler, the background all, the whole small town people know him one. And yet this girl want to marry him. But after that, because of what I did, turn him around, he become, after me, he is the wealthiest among all my brother and sister. That's why, who but you both ask them? You cannot see the immediate. Sometimes the stem transparent one. So what happened, after that, he got money to buy bungalow, investment, a lot of things. Then he didn't work for very long already, But he has investment, he has money. And he trusts me, he just leave the investment to me. And from that 80,000, my father 40, of course my father one also become his one. Well, my father loved him like anything. From there I grow the money until 1 over 1,000,000 now that I count. And he don't want to take the money. He said, "I don't need the money." He said, "In Alostar I have my money." He keep on letting me invest. See? So this is what Dhamma is all about. It's not about you got task stamp or task stamp. Take care of karma, understand? No, don't take care of karma. You buy golden stamp also no use. So. Understand? Huh? So these are real life example. I am not creating out of nowhere. These are the things that you can see and can witness. So because of that, a lot of things in life, if you know how to perceive it with wholesomeness, without negativity, then apply the Dhamma, then apply all the wholesome mind state, you will not suffer. Do you understand? Like that Kayanmita, the handbag snatch, it will you how? The money is more important, isn't it? You lament, isn't it? But like my daughter said, luckily she is not hurt. They only stole the handphone, understand or not? And you can afford, so poor chai, xiao chai, okay ba? Not okay ma? Okay ah? Okay, don't waste time anymore. I ask my daughter to continue. Okay, another story lah. Because tomorrow is the last day I can share. I have to finish. Well, on the last day, morning, closing ceremony already. On the 8th. No, Friday, closing ceremony. At night, we go for dinner already. Then the next morning is formality, closing ceremony with the tangjia, everything. We give ang pao to all those people. We express our gratitude to the organizer, everything. Then we show you the account. So today, actually, one second last. Tomorrow, one more day to share. Then after that, the 8th day, we have to actually do the rounding up. Because I have to introduce everybody. Then everybody has to come out and do the sharing. The closing ceremony. I will say a few important dhamma so that you know how to maintain the pace of cultivation after you return to your daily life. So all this, that's why today I need to cover quite a bit so that tomorrow I don't have to rush you. So today still got a little bit of time for story. Don't know how to rejoice. Sadhu. Okay, see.
Okay, page 106.
Okay.
The 32nd Heart Sutra class, part 1. Oh, part 1, no more notes. So I go to part 2. 2.1. The 18 sense realms consists of 3 sets of 6s. First set of 6 refers to the 6 internal sense bases or organs, 5 physical and 1 mental. Second set of 6 refers to the 6 external sense bases or sense data. And the third set of 6 refers to their respective sense door consciousness. Understanding these 18 fields or 18 sense rhymes can lead to the understanding of how you know the world and how you interact with the world, plus how you function as a human being, leading to the understanding of who you are and what you are. It is important for us to understand what Sankhara is. Sankhara is the content of consciousness of everything that your mind can do, including the aggregates of feeling and perception. It includes all of your mental movements and activities, like mental states, intention, planning and scheming, formations, conditioned views and opinions, etc. The consciousness aggregate is the pure receptacle. Consciousness and its content becomes the thought, which is the 5 mental aggregates of form and mind that the Buddha referred to under his final summary of the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, in which the Buddha said, "In short, it is due to one's self-delusion or sakaya ditti that conditions one's craving and clinging to grasp onto these 5 aggregates of form and mind that he called dukkha. This is due to self-delusion. Living beings tend to attach or cling to their physical form, mental feeling, external forms that they come to perceive with every moment of consciousness, their mental thinking and mental consciousness taking them to be real, calling them the I and the me and the mind, leading to all the suffering. Take for example, when one perceives their loved ones, good friends, colleague or pets, or various prized possessions like their property, money, wealth, handphone, etc., and grasps onto them, then what happens? The fear of separation or losing them can arise if we don't have the wisdom and deludedly perceive them as really belonging to you. Once you have attachment or grasping to them, you can be afflicted and you will become very fragile and vulnerable. It is due to delusion that conditions you to grasp and cling onto them because you fail to see their impermanence, suffering and anatta or non-self nature. All sense experiences and phenomena, no matter how alluring, are a prelude to suffering because they are of the nature to arise and pass away or cease. So they will separate from you. Without wisdom developed via heedfulness, one will not be able to accept this reality. One must train one's mind to be heedful or ever mindful, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path and the 4 foundations of mindfulness leading to the enlightenment via realization of the 4 Noble Truths.
Yeah, so this one is very important. Read through the last paragraph a few times to get the understanding. The most important is 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 9 line from the bottom, I read to you again so that you don't miss the important point. So just like what my daughter read out just now, once you have attachment or grasping to them, you can be afflicted. Remember this statement. And you will become very fragile and vulnerable. True or not? The moment you attach and grab, then you can be afflicted. Then you become very fragile, very vulnerable. Easily get into problem. So this is the path. And it is due to delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto them. But you fail to see their impermanence. That is where the teaching is. That is where my daughter now start to understand how things come, condition arising, cause of, when condition is there for you to own, you will own. But condition cease to be like somebody steal your thing, then it cease to be. Your condition no more. So you have to accept that reality and move on. No point lamenting, getting angry, plant the seed of evil or the weed in your garden. The Christian call it the Garden of Eden. We all garden of heart. So this part is very important. You must really have the understanding of the three universal characteristics. Impermanent, leading to suffering when you cannot accept things as they are, when you cannot understand the reality of the moment, when you don't have the Dhamma. Yeah. Then the anatta nature or non-self nature or the empty nature. So all sense experiences and phenomena, no matter how alluring. You know what is alluring, isn't it? Lure you. You know how to lure you. You understand, For men, they should understand. When the lady wear very scantily, then Leo. Or the handsome man, suddenly come to you, and talk to you. You like fatta. Huang Li Hong. You know who is Huang Li Hong? You know, the most handsome guy around. Suddenly he approached, Kiet Hun, how are you? You look so beautiful. You pengsan or not? Oh, you won't pengsan. Then what you do? Hack him immediately. No some more. No, I say he approached you, and say, Kiet Hun, you are very pretty. Very gentleman. Jing Yap asked you, 真的吗? After like that girl, 我不要, but 心里要. Okay, that is very good. But Jing Yap, I think he can see through your heart. That's why. He's trying to say, 真的吗? 你的心说我不要, but 心里面要. Oh, he got psychic one, oh. That is a good one. See? She thinks out of the box, divert the topic, and put the blame back on you. Only you, but you both ask them. That's a good one. Thank you. Thank you to Jing Yap. Thank you to you. That's why you must have laughter, humor. Then there is joy. Otherwise, so serious. Sit down there. They're not more. They're not ask questions also. That is not life. Life is have some humor, but not too much. You can maintain heedfulness, you can have humor for life. You can maintain heedfulness. So heedfulness is very important. you can go karaoke, no problem, heedfulness. The music very loud also, no problem. Yeah, you are heedful, you are aware. And you can experience life, it's beautiful. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When you have Dhamma, you are beautiful. So I read on. All sense experience and phenomena, no matter how alluring, are a prelude to suffering because they are of the nature to... Hey, read la. Nature to arise and... you cannot see that. Not so real. You yourself also arise and pass away. Then other people also like that. That's why you cannot cling. You can love. You can love with your whole heart's content. Understand? But don't attach. You understand the meaning. You can love your children, your loved one, to whatever extent you want. But if anything happens, don't attach. You understand? In reality, it's difficult. Why? Because you still doubt that you have the understanding. Because at this moment, your thought tell you, hey, you have to be enlightened to do that. No. So that's why you say, at this stage, it's not easy, difficult. No. When you understand, really can. That time, my daughter lost her phone. She don't have the Dhamma yet. But she reflect, contemplate on what went through after she has the Dhamma. Now, if anything were to happen to her, she can do it already. No problem. You understand?
Think when it comes to children. I have not reached there yet.
Things are okay when they come to loved ones, still tabule.
I still think it's difficult for me. May I speak for myself?
So I repeat what the Buddha say. So don't get angry when I repeat. Because he labeled you as a fool.
Share the story of... Buddha losing his son and then still very...
No,
calm.
Not only that. There is a Dhammapada verse. He says, somebody said, my son, my wealth, my possession, this only the fools lament. Understand? Only foolish people lament. For that very body also he cannot own. Wherein son, wherein wealth, wherein possession. Dhammapada verse, very clear.
I got to read it. And recite.
Fair enough.
But at the moment, I don't think I can handle it yet.
Oh,
So I told my kids, you go anywhere, the first thing you need to report is to your mother. Otherwise, you know me. So my children, so far, so good. If they go overseas, the first thing they get online, they buy the phone, they say, Mom, arrive already. Okay.
Safe and sound.
So I told them, it's not their problem. I acknowledge the problem is very much me. So Lee Hoon have been talking to me. Besai. I said, no, besai. But I'll be held to.
So. Yeah. Let Lee Hoon share.
You see, when I had cancer in 2002.
Yes, Lee Hoon's case. Real case.
My children is only in Form 2 and Form 4.
Yeah.
And that is the time. Actually, I was actually very attached to them.
Yeah.
And they were also very attached to me.
Yeah.
So I know that I'm going to die very soon. So what am I going to do with these two children?
So learn
so
from
one
Lee
Hoon. Day, I think that time I still don't have Dharma. But I have been reciting this Sing Jing. Because my mother said,
correct.
The Sifu in BM.
Correct.
Temple said, you let your daughter...
That's why you told me also, your mother, you have a lot of gratitude.
Yes.
Because she is so strong. She helped you pull through. And you survived 17 years already.
Yeah.
Very beautiful.
So one day while reciting, after finishing, I just lie on the bed. So I said, how to make me not attached to my children? So I don't know how I go and think that my children just borrow my stomach to come out,
the
to
womb.
Live life. You know, so from there, I also let them go, you know. I never check their homework, never ask them when is their exam.
Very good.
So they very also good. Like become an adult.
Independent.
Very fast. Very fast.
Yeah, very
so
good.
So at the end, until today, actually, Brother Teo, how they go to university?
Also, you don't know.
I don't know. I only need money.
Kei Hun. Good lesson.
And a lot, Brother Teo. Actually, it's very true.
Yeah,
a lot of
sadhu.
People come to me and ask,
yeah.
Hey, Lui Kia Tahami University?
Mzai.
Mzai, Brisbane University.
Oh, okay.
Have you seen the place? Wa Mzai?
Yeah. The daughter is a doctor, you know.
Actually, my daughter, when I sent her to the airport, yeah. I saw a lot of parents following their children.
Yeah.
And then my daughter is like, you go on your own. And then you know what she told me? She said,
yeah.
You never believe. All our luggage when we reached Mangalore, all taken in the ambulance. And then she said, now you know the roads are like that.
Oh, no wonder.
Then actually, I have no worry for them, you know.
Because to me,
I already like put it down.
Correct. Very good.
They just come out.
Yeah, they borrow your
womb to come out to live life.
That is one of the very good way, understand or not?
And I actually let them decide what they have to do,
yes.
But not to violate the karma or whatever.
Correct, the karmic law.
And you know,
that is very
they turn out to be even better than...
Yes, more independent.
Yeah, I'm just very grateful.
Those fear are not necessary, you understand. So because she know how to contemplate, reflect, when she lie down on the bed, they only borrow my womb, not so real. So it's just like if she has the Dhamma that time or later on, the question is, they are just form a mind. Understand not? They have their life, their karma. Why are you going to worry? Their karma like that, they will be like that. Thing is just the way they are. So your worry is not really necessary. Understand? That fear, actually, a lot of time, living beings don't understand. Why must you fear? You're supposed to trust your karma, trust your nature. Your children also same. Understand not? So take care of karma. Forget about other things. Then everything will accord and flow. Then accept the reality of nature's law. Finish. Fear is not necessary. Suffering is not necessary. Like the Buddha said, suffering need not be. Why go and project your thought, which is not a reality? You worry, why? Well, your thought worry and condition you to have stress, fear, anxiety. All these are negative seeds you cannot see. And you justify through what? My children know. That word my become very big. That's why the Buddha say the sakyadity is the I, the me, the my. This is what is happening. So through that delusion, sakyadity, so that you project your thought, fear arise, worry arise. But this is not the reality. Understand? Nothing happened yet. What? But you go and assume, no. What if? Is that a reality? What if? Is that a reality? Then why go and worry? Why go and attach? This is what the Dhamma. And a lot of people now, they know, 活在当下 means what? Live your life in the present moment. That is the only reality in life. Moment to moment, life passes by. If you are not mindful of the moment, you are lost in thought. You are projecting your thought into the future. That's how fear arrives, worry arrives. But you are not living life. Then when you recall the past, also the sadness will come. Well, you call all the sad past. Everything that happened that allow you to have that memory and clinging, if these are all the things that affected your life. Somebody who passed away. Somebody who maybe did something to you. Then the scars of memory that you have. That's why you recall this. These are all wrong thoughts. That condition your suffering, sorrow and lament. Just now morning chanting, we chant it. Sorrow, lamentation and all those things are suffering. And yet they arise in you, you created them through wrong thought, you are not aware. And you forgot about the teaching. The only thing you remember is they are my children. Understand? So that sakyaditi, that graph is so clear. That's why anatta, you must see it. You can see it in yourself that you yourself cannot control your own body, and this body doesn't belong to you. They are four elements, they go the way of nature. Then how can you control other living beings? Why can't you understand the nature's law of karma? They have their life, they have their karma, let them live. Like what Li Hun did was very beautiful. Because of that cancer, he was able to contemplate, they only borrow my womb to come to this world. They are not really connected in that sense. You understand? Just because you give birth biologically, husband and wife, the sperm and ovum, then you think they belong to you, your children. I give you one example that you wake up. Let's say, past life, Siu Kham Che, you know what is Siu Kham Che or not? Yeah? You know what is Siu Kham Che? Huh? Karmic debt. Yeah? Let's say, I don't want to give you as example, somebody deceive and cheat somebody of a lot of money. Okay? Then make him miserable. Then this guy, kena cheated one, very, very angry, hate you like anything, wow, to revenge, to come after you. So, future life, you know how he come after you? Become your son. And the worst is the only son. You work very hard, accumulate all the money, more than what you deceive and cheat him. Then finally, you have to pass over as inheritance to him. And he squander your money and scold you. And you cannot do anything because the Chinese always say what? You understand? Means, don't know what past life I must have owed him. How can he did all this? You still attached, my son, the only son, what can I do? If I don't give to him, give to who? You don't know how to donate. So if they come through karmic debt, you are going to suffer like more. So understand that there are karmic behind. Like my children, how they come to me. Well, they have been good parents before. They have the parami and they have affinity with my nature and my wife's nature. That's why they come. So this one, no coming that one. This one, coming affinity one. Understand? Not? Then they have beautiful life. So you must observe. If they come with good past, good karmic conditioning, you don't have to worry about that. Let them live. Let them have the joy. Understand? Not? So if you don't have the complete understanding, you will worry. Unnecessary, I use the word. Worry, unnecessary. Okay? Ah, agree, ah? Ah, sadhu. Now, now can understand already. Ah. my daughter. Yeah, let my daughter explain to you. you must let the children explain to you.
Maybe you think from their perspective.
Yeah.
Because I went to do the trekking, I do the scuba diving as well, and it's a very enriching experience. It's something that I feel
she wants to do.
Makes part of.
I just let her do. No, Himalayas, mountain climbing. He went. Mount Kinabalu, he went.
Right,
after he come back, earthquake. Both sides earthquake. The worst is Himalayas. The airport, Kathmandu, also closed. Then that day, the flight supposed to take off. No, hey, heard the news, the airport open. No, but don't know what time can the flight fly. No, he fly from Singapore to my house and tell me that it don't know what time. Then he just go airport. No, wait. No, then the flight really on. No, the airport closed. You know due to what? Due to plane disaster, they just clean up only. No. And she flew, no? I never even questioned anything. I never even worried. I know she got part of me. Then she fly all the way there, landed. Yeah. Then climb up the mountain, almost 21 days. 16 days. Then come back. No? Then, don't know how many weeks, 2 weeks later or what, the earthquake. Then she was back in my house. No? She saw the TV. No? She said, Daddy, I was there. No? The way it's came. He said, I don't know what happened to my friend. I tell you, Mount Kinabalu also like that. No? Come back 1 month later, earthquake. No? That's why everywhere she go, 1 month later, don't go.
Actually, it's not the things I do. If bad karma, I sitting at home also, something can happen. Yeah. Correct or not?
Yes. That one is very true. Nowhere is safe, okay, good. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. So at least very good sharing about life. Huh? You know how to live life. Okay, next page. We only cover one page. Oh, that's why much more faster.
Okay, page 107, 2.2. The fourth foundation of mindfulness, third category of cultivation. Mindfulness of the six internal sense spaces and six external sense spaces is related to the 18 sense rhymes and the 12 links or dependent origination and the fire sermon cultivation. In the fire sermon, the Buddha preached about achieving liberation from suffering through detachment from the five senses and mind consciousness. In this discourse, the Buddha described the sense basis and resultant mental consciousness of phenomena as burning, with passion, aversion, delusion, and suffering. Seeing such, a noble disciple becomes disenchanted with dispassion and thus liberated from the senses, sense basis, thereby achieving arahantship. This is described in more details below. Thus I heard, on one occasion, the Blessed One was living at Gaya Sisa, accompanied by 1,000 bhikkhus, the Buddha proclaimed, "Bhikkhus, all things are burning.
Sabbam bhikkhave aditang.
Thank you. What bhikkhus are all these things burning? The eye, bhikkhus, is burning. Visual forms are burning. Visual forms, sense data received by the eyes are burning. Eye or seeing consciousness is burning. Eye contact is burning. Also, whatsoever feeling felt as pleasant or unpleasant or painful or neither pleasant nor unpleasant or painful that arises with eye contact, that too is burning. With what are they burning? Burning with the fire of lust or passion, loba, with the fire of hate, dosa, and with the fire of delusion, moha. I say it is burning with birth, aging, and death, with sorrow, with lamentation, with pain, with grief, with despair. The ear, bhikkhus, is burning. Sounds are burning. Vibrations or sense data received by the ears are burning. Ear or hearing consciousness is burning. Ear contact is burning. Also, whatsoever feeling felt as pleasant or unpleasant or painful, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant or painful, that arises with ear contact, that too is burning.
Okay, I will explain a bit so that you all understand what mindfulness cultivation is. So under this sutta, the fire sermon, do you know, after the Buddha finished his sermon, the 1,000 bhikkhu all become arahan. Because these people follow the, they worship fire, this group of people. They under another teacher that worship fire. So the Buddha used the fire sermon because they understand what fire is and they know fire burn. So here, mindfulness is, he said, if you are mindful, he will tell you all our senses are burning. Burning means what? Potential for suffering the moment they arise. So without wisdom, it is burning. So he start off with the eye as an organ. He said, the eye, bhikkhu, is burning. Then if you are mindful, what does the eye receive? Visual form, means the sense data for your eye, are burning. The one coming in. I told you Cameron Highland go down, the bus. I saw the sense data coming in. And I know it's going to make contact and all things. And I knew how I function as a human being. But that time I had the understanding. But I can sense all this is how human beings get into trouble. Because it starts to move my whole brain again to start. The mundane mind, the thinking mind, and everything start all over again. After it has more or less ceased. I was a few days within the retreat. Remember, the second day I had that ability, I settled down. Then my mind become very different. By the time I leave, my whole brain completely transformed. There is no such active movement at all. Don't have. I was required still. That all the sense data, because I'm not traveling, they are like quiet. They doesn't affect me. But when I'm on the bus, it starts to come in. Then I saw how it starts again to animate me into a human being again, to have all those movement again. That's why I can see the eye is burning, sense data that coming is burning. All this you will see. That is what mindfulness is all about. For you, see already, react, get angry, still don't know. Still no mindfulness. So how can you understand the Dhamma? Because every stage of it leads to suffering, burning. That's why they wake up and they become arahant straight away. So I read on. The eye, bhikkhu, is burning. Visual form are burning. Visual form or sense data received by the eye are burning. Eye or seeing consciousness is burning. The contact is burning. Also, whatsoever feeling felt as pleasant, unpleasant, painful, or neither pleasant or unpleasant, painful, nor unpleasant or painful, that arises with eye contact, that too is burning. With what is it burning? It is burning with the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. These are lobha, dosa, and moha. I say it is burning with birth, aging, and death, with sorrow, with lamentation, with pain, with grief, and despair. Yeah, this is what suffering is, when you allow your mind to have all those negativity of mind state. Then he repeated for the other senses. I think we can skip a bit. So you continue. Next page. Next page, I think the third paragraph.
1, 2, 3. Okay. Page 108.
Oh, you read the second paragraph onward.
Okay. With what are they burning? Burning with the fire of lust, or passion, lobha, with the fire of hate, dosa, and with the fire of delusion, moha. I say it is burning with birth, aging, and death, with sorrow, lamentation, pain, grief, with despair. Bhikkhus, when a noble disciple who has heard this truth and clearly seeing things thus, he becomes wary of the eye, wary of visual forms, wary of eye or seeing consciousness, wary of eye contact, and wary of whatsoever is felt as pleasant or unpleasant or painful, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant or painful, that arises with eye contact. I think the wary here should be W-A-R-Y.
Yeah. W-A-R-Y. Yes. The spelling is wrong. W-A-R-Y.
Cautious, instead of tired. This wary here is tired. W-A-R-Y is that cautious.
W-A-R-Y. It should be W-A-R-Y.
He becomes wary of the ear, wary of sounds, wary of ear or hearing consciousness. He becomes wary of the nose, wary of odors, and wary of nose or smell consciousness. He becomes wary of the tongue, wary of taste, and wary of tongue or taste consciousness. He becomes wary of the body, wary of tactile sensations and feelings, and wary of body or tactile consciousness. He becomes wary of the mind, wary of thoughts or mental forms, wary of mind or thought consciousness, wary of mind contact, and wary of whatsoever is felt as pleasant or unpleasant or painful, or neither pleasant nor unpleasant or painful, that arises with mind contact. In this way, he becomes freed from passion, and he becomes aware of feeling, with insight, knowledge, and wisdom. He knows there is no more rebirth, that the holy life is his, that he has done all that should be done. These were the Blessed One's words. When he spoke to the bhikkhus thus, the whole congregation of over 1,000 bhikkhus rejoiced, approved of his words, and attained liberation from the asavas through clinging no more, and their hearts were completely free.
Okay, very good. So I have to explain a little bit. You go up to paragraph 4. He said, Bhikkhu, when a noble bhikkhu who has heard this truth and clearly see things thus, means see things as they are, he becomes weary of the eye, weary of visual form, weary of the eye, or seeing consciousness, weary of eye contact, weary of whatever is felt as pleasant and unpleasant. You remember what I told you or not? When I came out to the private sector to test, I cannot read. You understand or not? Yeah, I know it's suffering. So, if I get involved in worldly activity again, if I use my senses, that suffering thing is there. That's why the nature tell me, you want to suffer, you use. Because the fine suffering inside, I can feel it. I have the sensitivity of mindfulness. Then after that, I don't want to read. No point. Understand? No? But I have a duty, you know, I work for people. You know. That's why I force myself to read. Despite whatever, I won't call it suffering, despite whatever difficulty that I go through because it's a form of mind. It's only this form of mind have to endure that because the mind is very sensitive. Yeah. Then it knows all this no more meaning. But I have a duty. I sign up for the job appointment. I agree to fulfill that work contract or what they call the appointment letter that appoint me to work for them. So because of that, I go through it. But I was able to do it because my experience was already very, very complete. I don't have to really remember anything to run project management, to go meeting. What I need is just the dates, the important facts of that project, which I have to read through the old file. Well, when I take over the project, it was an old project. So the old file I had to read through. But I didn't like read word by word, no. I just came through very fast to look for the important thing. I need the date and all those things. So I roughly know that thing because all these are very familiar to me because I am very skillful in project management, in running civil engineering contract and all those things. So because of that, I went through that phase. So I understand the fire sermon very clearly. Where you can really feel it. Everything is burning. What is it burning? Because when you have delusion, it's burning. When delusion, no more burning. Then you can live life as normal again. That's why later on, when my mundane mind collapsed, I became normal again. Now I can read, I can do what I like. Yeah. But during that time, the transformation time, a lot of things you cannot do. It tells you, it reminds you that the Dhamma is this way. Form and mind will have such condition. That's why I can be at the moment of contact. Contact is burning. But without delusion, with wisdom, contact remain as pure feeling. Contact, condition, feeling. Feeling remain as pure feeling. But before the wisdom come, it cannot stay there. Then the fine suffering is because the mind, the mundane mind, want to cease. So when it want to see, it has to tell you, show it to you, until you understand like what I wrote on the whiteboard. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then you stop reading, stop thinking, stop everything. Then every time you relax, silent, lie down, you will go into that cessation. You will experience the unconditioned. That is how it happened. It's only towards the end, before the cessation happens, you become so different, so sensitive. Yeah. So this fire sermon is very good. Yeah. You can develop the mindfulness to understand all this, then you become very different. Your mind will transform, and you will be able to have that cessation coming. Mm. That's why mindfulness is very different. When you become very mindful, very heedful, you become very sensitive. And you can feel all this very fine suffering. That movement itself is suffering. Sankhara dukkhang, suffering. The activity, sankhara sanya, that movement is suffering. Yeah. at the moment of contact, you want to know anything, want to perceive anything, is also suffering. The arising of the mundane mind is suffering. So all this become very clear to the formal mind. That's why the formal mind, through the understanding and the wisdom connected, it will not do anything. That condition will arise, cessation will happen. That's how you realize the unconditioned. Okay? Yeah, very good. Read on. Yeah, see. 2.3. Yeah.
2.3, notes from another commentary. Bhikkhus, form is burning, feeling is burning, perception is burning, volitional formations are burning, and consciousness is burning. Seeing thus, the instructed noble disciple experiences revulsions towards form, feeling, perception, volitional formations, and consciousness. Through dispassion, and this mind is liberated. The ensuing text reveals that all, sabba, refers to the six internal sense bases, ayatana, eye, ear, nose, tongue, body, and mind. The six external sense bases, visible forms, sounds, smells, tastes, touches, and mental objects. Consciousness, vijnanam, contingent on these sense bases. By burning, adita, is meant the fire of passion, raga gina, the fire of aversion, dosa gina, the fire of delusion, moha gina, the manifestations of suffering, birth, aging, and death, sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, and despair. Disenchanted, he becomes dispassionate. Through dispassion, he is fully released. With full release, there is the knowledge fully released. He discerns that birth is ended, the holy life fulfilled, the task done. There is nothing further for this world. And then the diagram. 18 sense rhymes or feels comprised of 3 sets of 6. First set of 6, the internal sense bases or organs. Second set of 6, the external sense bases or external sense data. Third set of 6, respective sense door consciousness pertaining to the previous. Okay.
The next page picture is very important. Eh? You look at the diagram. There are 5 outer circles. They are your 5 physical senses. Then internal, there is this mental, the mind. So this mental consciousness or mind consciousness, you realize is the common denominator. For you to arise, whether seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile consciousness, or thought consciousness, you need the mind. So there was an analogy of Tucho Potola, the venerable empty scripture. I think Achan Cha wrote a book on it, which is a very good analogy. During the Buddha's time, there's a very senior monk who actually was not enlightened yet. But he is very senior, very knowledgeable, with a lot of Dhamma knowledge. He is very scholarly. And he has been teaching all the monks. And all the monks he teach, most of them become enlightened already. But he himself not enlightened yet. So the Buddha called him Venerable Empty Scripture. Then he knew he was not enlightened. So what do you think he do? He paisei, dare not ask the senior monk to teach him, no. Then he knew there was a 7-year-old arahant. He approached the 7-year-old arahant. He said, "Can you teach me?" The arahant wanted to test him. The small boy said, "Hey, you're so senior, how can I teach you?" He said, No. I really know I am not enlightened." He said, "I need you to teach me." Then the small boy tried to test him. He said, "You see the pool of water outside? Go and roll over it." He asked the senior monk, to go and roll over. And the senior monk really rolled over, wet himself and dirty himself. Then he came back to the small boy, the 7-year-old arahant. The small boy said, "Oh, looks like you are serious, Okay, he said, "You want to learn, Very easy. He gave him a reader. You know what is a reader? R-I-D-D-L-E, Not R-E-A-D-E-D, R-E-R. R-I-D-D-L-E, so a riddle. He said, let's say there is a mole, or anthill or mole, huh? There are six openings. There's a lizard that went in, he said. How do you catch the lizard? Huh? There are six holes. How do you catch the lizard? And now I ask you. Careful and try. What? Huh?
I put sticky tape.
Sticky tape?
Yeah, just stick double adhesive tape on there. The lizard will walk there, stuck there. That's it. Count him.
But you cannot go in. The cavity is so small. Hand also cannot go in. They got six aperture entrance. Means the lizard can come out anywhere, can go in anywhere. Ah, yeah.
I think I'll cover the...
She already heard before. No, she said, cover five holes, wait at one hole.
Yeah.
So, no. Very wise idea. So, cover five holes, no need to waste time on the other hole. Otherwise, you got to run here, see got lizard or not. Run there, see got lizard. Then how to catch a lizard? Then the lizard also not stupid. No, get hun there, I go the other hole. Get hun there, I go the other hole. Then forever you miss the lizard. That's why Queenie, cover the five holes, wait at the last hole. Sure, come out through that hole, isn't it? But the actual teaching is the common denominator, the hole where the mind is. The other hole are not important. The mind has to arise to trigger of the consciousness, whether seeing, hearing, smell, taste, tactile, or thought. So when you are mindful, aware means the awareness, understand or not? The awareness is where the mind is, the true mind is. Then it manifests through the mundane mind, you understand? So the mundane mind has to be, so the awareness is at the mundane mind. When it makes contact, it can be at any of the senses, you understand? Because you are at the mind, common denominator. So you can be aware of whatever the mind do, you understand? That's how you catch a lizard. Then the venerable monk become an arahant. Straight away. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. But he realized he used the mundane mind to understand the scripture teaching. He is not meditating. When you meditate, you take care mind. Understand not? And to take care mind, you must have the awareness behind to stay at the mind. That's at your heart base. Then whenever you make contact, you will go there. You understand? That's how he suddenly awaken and become arahant. Means the other things are not important, the other senses. They all have to trigger through mind. That's why mind is a forerunner of all things. Mind is chi. When mind arrives, everything arrives. So, mindfulness is the most powerful. When you are mindful, you can be aware. When you can be aware, you can understand how you function as a human being. You can see how this form and mind actually function, then you will know that they are not real. They are universal characteristics, impermanent, leading to suffering, empty nature, nonsense. That's why, because he already venerable, very good in the knowledge of Dhamma already, then the moment somebody advise him and tell him like certain important truth to link all the teaching, he suddenly awakened and become an arahant. You have enough Dhamma already then. So now with the lizard analogy, you should awaken, isn't it? That's why stay there, like Ingby, yes. Because you understand the importance of mindfulness. Aware. Stay with the mind. Stay with your awareness. Don't get lost in thought. When you get lost in thought, what happens? You are preoccupied with your thinking, with your emotion, with all the things that the thought tell you. That's why the whole phenomenal world of form arise. Then you got your children, understand? Your husband, your favorite car, your client. So many things. Then your career. Then everything that you think you own. Then when your body falls sick, you worry. But these are all not important. It's the mind, the awareness. That one is the one that will really let you understand. Okay? Yeah. Now, meditation, part 3. Yeah,
part 3, 3.1. Meditation consists of two parts. First part is to train the mind to be heedful. Then the second part is to make use of this trained mind in heedfulness to live life and cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path with special emphasis on the four foundations of mindfulness. This mind that is trained listens to you. And if you want it to be silent within, it will just be silent within. If you want it to be aware to think, then it
or,
will...
Or think.
Oh, sorry. Oh, okay.
Be either aware or think.
Oh, sorry. Aware or think. Thank you. Then it will do just that. Even if you want it to be at the moment of feeling, perception, activity of mind or consciousness, then it will just do that. That is, it listens to you. Heedfulness can only arise when the mind is trained. To be heedful, one must know how to silence one's mind to connect to one's true mind. The untrained mind is very heedless and it thinks a lot because of ignorance and delusion. Without this heedfulness developed, one is as if dead spiritually, as per Dhammapada verse 21. Since heedfulness is the path to the deathless, and the heedful do not die, so please do strive on with heedfulness.
So this one repeated many times. Huh? Meditation got two steps. So don't assume you already know. Huh? Read through it slowly. Because this is a very good summary. Okay? Read the notes.
There are no short notes for Heart Sutra class 30 and 31 because Brother Teo's sharing was just based on review of Heart Sutra class 29.
Okay, we stop here. Huh? You can have your lunch break. We are almost 12 o'clock. Sadhu. Very good. Do you have any question? We still have 3 minutes. Any question? Don't have that. We go early lunch. Huh? Okay, thank you. Pay respect, then mindfully. We come back at 1:30, huh?